In one of the steps of the AA program, we make the statement that we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now, immediately the thought comes to our mind, what do we mean by sanity? And once having sanity restored, what are the methods we can use to continue along a sane life, to continue in this sanity? Well, sanity comes from the Latin word sanitas. That means healthy. It does not refer to the body, nor to the mind, nor to the soul. It refers to the personality. And therefore, the sane person is one who has a healthy personality, who has learned to and continues in a state of adjustment to life, to reality, to people, and to himself or herself. Now, in this question of sanity, there comes the problem of the emotions, or what we call neurotic trends. Psychiatrists say neuroses. And many people will ask themselves or ask someone else, am I a neurotic? Can I tell? Is there any way I can tell if I'm a neurotic or not? Well, I'm going to tell you how, a very simple way. There might be psychiatrists that don't agree with me, but at least it answers the question for me, and I believe it would for most members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that is, the so-called normal person reacts most of the time to reason and intelligence. The neurotic person reacts most of the time to feeling, to emotion. And there you have the differentiation. The more I react to feeling instead of intelligence, the more neurotic I am. The more I react to intelligence instead of emotion, the more sane, the more normal I am. Now, we were given 12 steps in AA. And you who have been in AA any length of time at all know that those suggested steps are a philosophy of living. They are guidelines to enable us to readjust again to reality in life, which means to sanity in life, to keep the sanity we have. However, with the modern stresses and strains of life, I feel that most of us need a little more up over and above the 12 steps to control many of the emotional tendencies that we find within ourselves and many of the emotional problems that come along day in and day out. So this evening I'm going to try to give you, the best I can, what I call certain definite techniques. Techniques that we can use to control the emotional side of our personality. Techniques that will enable us more solidly to adjust to life and reality. And techniques that will enable us to remain more stable in the life we live in this world with people and with ourselves and with reality. I've picked these up over the years. Many of them I've taken from what we call Recovery Incorporated. Now, for those who don't know, Recovery Incorporated is a group of neurotic people with emotional problems, who together meet and, as a group, solve these problems. And they have various techniques to do that. Those techniques which I feel are beneficial to us, I will also try to give you. Now, the first one of these techniques, and it's so elementary a statement that perhaps you might be amazed, but it's very fundamental. And that is, keep life simple. You know, most life is simple. We make it complex, or as the guy said, we screw it up. The 12 steps are very clear. The language in the 12 steps, the expressions are very easily understood, but we are going to complicate it as we go along, unless we keep it simple. I have been accused of oversimplification. Perhaps I do. But with the fundamental basis of normal living, meaning to keep life simple, I think we would be better off by making it a little bit too simple than trying to make it so complex in the world that is so complex in itself today. Take, for example, my daily life. Everything I add to it begets a need. And what happens? I must fulfill that need. So instead of a simple life, simple needs, I end up with all kinds of complex needs every day. And when I'm not able to fulfill them all, I have frustration, friction, neurotic trends, emotional disturbance. Keep life simple. Now, AA has contributed two great factors to the simplicity of living. And that is the importance AA attaches to the habit of decision and to the danger of resentment. AA tells us that one of our biggest problems is the habit of indecision. And the word itself, de quito, means to cut in half. And that's very true. A habit of decision will have the problems of our life, particularly the emotional problems. Anyone who is disturbed emotionally to any degree is very much a victim to indecision, almost inevitable. Resentments, we know with the alcoholic, will cause again frustration and also cause the craving for alcohol. Now, we'll have a little bit more about that in a few moments when we try to see what can we do about resentment. Because recovery handles resentment in a very more definite way than we do in AA. But some of us can use it very handily. Then the next technique is to practice being satisfied. Now, when I use the word practice, that means to do something about it. To make up my mind I am going to be satisfied with the things that are and not constantly strive with what I think should be and probably never will be. Once again, I eliminate frustration, I eliminate friction, I eliminate neurotic trends and emotional difficulties. Practice being satisfied. If it's not A-okay, well, then it's okay, so I'll accept it. Of course, it gives us the idea of acceptance in the prayer that we say. Oh, God, give us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And you know what that wisdom is? That wisdom is something that tells us that 99% of the things outside of myself I can't change in this world. 99% of the things inside myself I can change. That's the wisdom to know the difference. And that will give me a great practice in being satisfied, in acceptance. I can lower my sight. You know, one of the big problems of the modern era is that so much is thrust on us as possible, whereas in reality it is not possible. Look at your TV commercial. Dance through your work, you know. All the things are put as possible potentials which are not reality. Reality is not that way. Reality is something objective, something real. And unless I accept those things in life as real, I will have emotional difficulties. Take, for example, a husband and wife. What happens between husband and wife? Because we cannot accept reality. What happens? The husband, when he met his wife years before, thought she was so beautiful, so wonderful, that he felt like he could eat her up. And then he married her and wished he had. He met a fictitious person, he married a real person. Practice being satisfied. Then the next technique is, contrary to popular opinion, Almighty God is not the editor of the Reader's Digest. Another amazing thing in our modern world. Why, it was in the Reader's Digest. It must be true. And herein comes the Advertising Council of America for plenty of leveling ads. What is their slogan? You see it on your TV screen. Their slogan is to create a need where there has been none. That's the fertile field for emotional problems, frustration, friction, and all types of neurotic trends. Then the next technique is learn to like people. They're not all SOBs in this world. You know, when we sober up, it's amazing how many nice people there are in the world. And I'm convinced, really, I have given retreats to every segment of society, including priest retreats, nuns retreats, and what have you. And I'm convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that 90% of all people in this world are doing a good job of what they have to work with. In other words, they're sincerely trying to do the best they can. Now, if we can't like to associate with people, at least we can change our attitude. Some of us perhaps may not be so easily adaptable to association with people, but at least we can quit condemning them, criticizing, and begin to tolerate, learn to love, and then after loving, learn to like, because life has to do with the emotion. Love has to do with the intellect and the heart. Then the next one is practice cheerfulness. Again, that takes practice. We have to do things cheerfully, go out of our way to practice it. Look how much difference there is in our daily life. The phone rings, hello? Oh, good morning. The boss, well, how are you? Practice cheerfulness. Then the next one is use adversity. Learn to see through adversity as God's will and not let adversity throw us. Whatever happens, God permitted or He caused it, one of the two, God's will be done. That's what gives the sense of humor, you know, in this world. God has a terrific sense of humor. And if you don't believe that, just for a moment, stop and realize that you and I, and all the millions of people in this world, were created for the honor and glory of God. He had to have a sense of humor. Many great men in history and women became great not because there were not adversities in their life, but only because of great adversity. Take, for example, Caesar was an epileptic. President Roosevelt was a paralytic. And Ann Keller was blind. But because of these adversities, they used them as stepping stones, not as obstacles to progress. Not something to shed tears in our own self-pity, but to use as stepping stones to happiness here and hereafter. Then the next technique, and this has to do with the Recovery Incorporated program, practice objectivity in life. What does that mean? Practice objectivity means to start with getting off the me, I, we, and us, and getting on the you, they, them, and theirs. In other words, look objectively at this world and not subjectively through me. To get off the habit of judging all things as it affects me. Practice objectivity. Now, how are we going to do this? First, be convinced that feelings are not facts. I remember when I was in the sanitarium. Nice of it. Call it a sanitarium. I had to see the doctor every morning. And he would ask me, Father, how are you doing? And I'd say, I feel terrible. He said, Father, I didn't ask you how you felt. I asked you how you were doing. Objectivity. Feelings are not facts. Then the young fellow who had a job for the first time. And he asked the boss to let him off and go home. And the boss says, why? And the young fellow said, because I don't feel well. Just then the boss said, look, my young boy, there's one thing you'll never learn too soon nor remember too long. that most of the work in this workaday world is done by people who just don't feel well. So when it comes to nervous disorders, not what are my feelings, but what are the facts? And the only one that can tell me that is the doctor, not myself. Decide by logic, intelligence, not by feeling. Then pursuant of that comes another one. Feelings not based on facts will disappear under objectivity. Now that might amaze a lot of you people, but it's true. Discovery has used this thousands of times. A neurotic has all kinds of feelings, you know, palpitations, pains, and what have you. And such a person can very well prove to themselves and get rid of those feelings, prove that they are not objective facts by simply pinpoint, where is the feeling? Where does it hurt me? It'll disappear. Because you're making it objective. Or another way is to take out your watch and say, now how long is that going to last? How many seconds? Before 10 seconds have passed, the feeling will have left. If it's a neurotic feeling, if it's not factual. And if the doctor therefore tells us there's nothing wrong with you physically, it's functional, it's emotional, then it's coming from feeling and not from facts.